Scripture this evening is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to meditate with you and consider the last three verses of this chapter. Let's read the chapter together first, 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So ends our reading of God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that our lives are filled with times of affliction and trial. One person or family may experience many more trials and troubles than another. Believers and unbelievers alike experience these afflictions that come across our path. God brings these afflictions in our life. He, as we confess, is the sovereign who is in control of all things. There is not a hair that falls from our head without the will of God, without the will of the believer's heavenly Father. And so the response to these afflictions and these trials that come across our path of life need to be answered with the direction of how we respond to these afflictions and trials. And the Apostle Paul in this passage is reminding the Corinthians, and he's reminding us, that the path that we ought to follow is to recognize that God our Father is using every one of these afflictions and trials for our good and His glory. You see, the Apostle Paul, he recognized, if anyone did, that the sovereignty of God. He recognized that, yes, not a hair could fall from his head without his fatherly will. And yet, when he was given this thorn in the flesh, he prayed to God that it would be removed. And it wasn't. And so he submitted his way to the Lord. And he believed, as God had showed him, his grace was sufficient for him. But if you could speak with the Apostle Paul in all his afflictions and also what he says here in this passage, he was always carrying about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He could say he was smitten down, he was hard pressed, he was crushed, perplexed, persecuted. If you could speak to this brother, the Apostle Paul, tonight, he would say, whatever my Father brings upon my path, He has designed it, and if He is going to use it to transform me and conform me into the likeness of Jesus Christ, He will bless God in all His affliction. There was nothing more than to be conformed to Christ and to be like Christ that consumed the Apostle Paul. And the question we have at the beginning of this service tonight would be this. Is this the pressing desire, the pressing need, the pressing groaning? I want my life and the testimony of my words and actions to show that I want nothing more than to live for Him, to be found in Him, for He is my life. He is my all. You see, Paul had one in his afflictions and trials to whom he could turn. One who he knew could relate to him in his sufferings. One he knew he could turn to in all his afflictions and trials to know that he, the one he served, had gone to depths beyond what he would ever go. And would strengthen him in his affliction and carry him through. And so Paul would say to the Corinthians, we are delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now there are many people today in this world who are suffering for the cause of Christ. We see many of them at times are marched out in orange suits in front of the ocean, and the knives are put to their throats. We don't have those kinds of afflictions here at this time. And yet I believe that God uses all these different circumstances in our life, whatever our affliction, whatever our trial, that we would turn to Him rather than turning away from Him in the trial and in the affliction. And so what Paul is going to be doing in this passage before us tonight, he's going to give us three reasons why we ought to press on in the face of trouble and trial and affliction. You know, even if the election had turned out the other way from what had happened this past week, we have reason to turn to God and to not lose heart. The King sits on the throne. So tonight I want to look at this passage at the end of 2 Corinthians 4 and consider why the believer is called to press on in the face of whatever circumstance, whatever trial may be coming across your path. I want to read these verses again. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So children, there's three reasons we need to press on even when you experience difficulty and challenge in your life. Three words that we begin with R. First word is renewal. Paul talks about the renewal of the inward man. Secondly, the reward. There's an eternal weight of glory. And third, he speaks about we need to remember, putting things in the eternal perspective. So why do we press on? Renewal, reward, and remember. Beloved, Paul says, we do not faint. We don't lose heart in the face of the afflictions and trials, because he says, though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now we know that God uses means to encourage his people, to strengthen them. For example, the next week, the Lord willing, I hear that you hope to commemorate the Lord's Supper. It is a strengthening meal for his children to be encouraged, to be strengthened in their hearts, to believe the promises that come to us in the gospel, and to be strengthened for our daily tasks of putting off the old man and putting on the new. We have that same strengthening that comes to us as we read the scriptures each day, as we pray to the Lord, as we commune with the saints. The inner man, the spiritual man is being renewed. But what Paul's saying here is, God's accomplishing the same thing in your afflictions. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, the Apostle Paul understood. He knew, he believed, he confessed as one who was united to Jesus Christ by faith, that he was inseparably united to Christ, that could never change, that Christ lived in him with his Spirit. And yet the challenge for the Apostle Paul, as for all of us, is when we are facing these difficulties, these circumstances of life that are painful, that are challenging, sickness, financial difficulty perhaps, spiritual darkness, relationships broken, that weigh us down, that press us beyond measure, and we're afflicted because of them. It is the outer man that might perish, that is perishing actually, Paul says, and it's the inner man that is being renewed day by day. I pastored in Canada for about 13 years in a congregation there, and you have the privilege, may I say, of standing at the bedside of young, middle-aged, and old who are leaving this world. Or they are on a bed of affliction. They've been afflicted with cancer or some other disease. And what you begin to realize as you visit with these dear friends and these dear saints, you're beginning to see their outward man is day by day wasting away before your very eyes. But the inner man, by God's grace, oh, there's not times indeed of doubt and fears and all of that. But over the span of their life, you can see what God is doing by his grace. They are growing. And the inner man is being strengthened day by day. Paul here is getting older. He is showing signs, no doubt, of wearing out, as it were. His mind perhaps was not as quick and sharp as it once was. His body was being broken down, shipwrecked, beaten, starving, being robbed, and so many different things. He had a thorn in the flesh. He was groaning in this tabernacle, his body. And yet, as he writes to Timothy, his spiritual son, He is lifting up his eyes. The inner man is speaking as he writes to Timothy, but I know there is a crown of righteousness laid away for me. And to depart and be with the Lord is far better. You see, as Paul was growing in grace, while he was experiencing afflictions, he was realizing with greater clarity, with greater conviction, that the outer man is fading away, but the inner man is being renewed by God, filled with the joys and triumphs of the gospel. As the Spirit of God testified with his Spirit, he was his son. Paul had learned through afflictions and suffering that to have Christ, to know Christ, was everything. And nothing else really mattered. Yes, Paul understood, as you and I do, if we are in Christ, as we wake up on Monday morning, the spiritual battle, the trials and the circumstances of life may be the same as when we went to bed the end of last week. But if we believe, as Paul did, that our sovereign God is in control of all these things, he is causing our inner man to be strengthened and upheld. The old man, the sinful man, the flesh is to be perishing, is to be crucified. Even Paul understood this, that to his last breath, the old man will be put to death. But the new man, the inner man, will be conformed and transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We are indeed engaged in spiritual warfare. And though they may reach the outward man, they can never reach the inner. It is God who is renewing his people by his word and spirit. And he confronts us, yes, with our sin, but he's leading us in the path that leads to life. He's leading us in the path that we are called to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, and to follow him. And this is the very way God is using in the lives of his children to accomplish this purpose. Do you realize that God is using afflictions in our life so that we would no longer cling to earthly things, no longer cling to earthly satisfactions, but that we would cling to him and trust in him and listen to his word? There are those Christians too who want to be in control of all the events of their lives. When things don't go the way they thought should have gone, and then they get frustrated, maybe even angry, and God may bring in affliction and trial and conflict in order to teach us. We need him. We need to cling to him. We need his grace day by day. And his purpose in bringing the affliction is not to destroy us, but that the inner man may be renewed day by day. So Paul could say, we faint not, though the outward man perish, we are being renewed day by day in the inner man. Is this what's taking place in your life? Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Is that your life? Are you dying? The outward man. The outward man, which is attracted by the things in this world, in which the world sets up for us as being that which is worthy of being followed. Or are you dying to those things, putting off those things, and you're seeking to follow in the path in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dying in a sense was not simply something that's happening at the end of Paul's life. It was his way of life. Dying. But at the same time, he's living in the inner man. He's rejoicing in the inner man. He's serving in the inner man. He's delighting in the will of God. You see, all these things we and you and I have been called to endure, if we do so for Christ's sake, they are contributing to the strength of the inner man. Time and again, when God puts us in a place where we don't know where to turn and we cry out to Him, He is renewing us in the inner man when we cling to Him and we read His Word and are edified and strengthened. This is what the Apostle Peter says, but the God of all grace who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You see, the reason God allows, why He brings in affliction and trial in our life, is to strengthen us, not destroy us. And so Paul says, the reason we press on is because we recognize by faith the inner man is being renewed, though the outer man perish. But there's a second reason in our text that Paul sets before us why we press on in afflictions. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I suspect if after the service I stood by the door for a while and talked to a number of you, each one of you could talk to me about any degree of affliction or trial that you've experienced or are currently encountering even now. And I suspect as well that many of you could perhaps say, as you are going or have gone through some intense affliction or trial, you would say it's anything but light. Otherwise, it's not really a trial. And we would have the tendency to say to the Apostle Paul tonight, but Paul, you don't really understand what I have and what I am going through. You don't know what my afflictions are. In one sense, you're absolutely correct. And what Paul is not saying in our text is, well, you just have to muster up your inner strength and grin and bear it. This will pass. It's not what Paul is saying. Paul has learned by faith. Notice he uses the plural in verse 17 for our light affliction. Yours and mine and his. Our light affliction. God knows what He's doing in our lives. These are designed by God for a purpose. And Paul is saying, you know what? All of my afflictions, when I look back, I can say, they have served my good. They have served my salvation, if you will. Not only the old man is dying and the inner man is being renewed, but my eyes, Paul is saying, is being turned from all the vanity, all the things I used to seek after, and they are directed now to an eternal weight of glory. Paul says these afflictions, which are light and which are momentary, are contributing to this glory. Look at the word he uses. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working. Did you ever stop a moment and think about that? The affliction you are in right now is working an eternal weight of glory. That casts our afflictions and all of our trials and circumstances of our life in a totally different light. When you speak with an unbeliever who is experiencing and encountering afflictions and trials, they can't understand these things. They would say, why do I need to endure all this trouble and all this affliction? They often become angry and frustrated, or they give up. But the believer is called to be far different. Paul says, our, yours and mine, light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working a far more exceeding glorious weight than we could ever imagine. Paul says it's an eternal weight of glory. Why? Because God is going to bring his child through to the end, not failing in his confession. But he will bring that one to glory, and that one in glory is going to continually and forever bring glory and praise and honor to God for what he's done as he brought him through all these afflictions. And we ought to have foremost in our hearts and minds the glory of God the Father. He has saved his people. Jesus tells the people in the Sermon on the Mount, God has saved you to bring glory to my Father. What was the one purpose of our Lord himself as he walked upon the earth? It was to do the will of his Father and to bring glory to his Father's name. He always and ever had his Father in view. And for the believer, for Apostle Paul, he ever has the glory of God, the glory of the Father in view. And that's how Paul is asking the Corinthians, how he's writing to us, and he's saying, your affliction is light and momentary. Paul would tell you and tell me tonight, I understand, I know what you're going through does not seem to be light. It does not feel to be momentary. It seems to be carrying on and on and on and maybe never ends. But turn back to Romans 8. Paul is here giving us another insight into what he means by this very thing. Romans 8, verse 17. Or we can go to 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For this reason, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings that you and I experience now are not even going to be comparable. It's not even apples and apples, it's apples and oranges. It can't even be compared in the same light. They are momentary and they are light in light of the greatness of the glory that awaits those who rely on God and follow him in their affliction and cling to him as the inner man is renewed and they look to him for deliverance. You know, if we would rightly see all of our afflictions in comparison to what we deserve, if we recognize that just one sin against such a holy and awesome God earns us eternal wrath, anything above eternal wrath is blessing. And so all the blessings we receive, how many are they? But then when you consider the few afflictions we have, they are, as Paul says, but a moment, and they are light, because additionally they are working for us a far greater glory. God is afflicting his children and his people for a purpose, for a reason, and it will bring glory to them and to his name. The writer to the Hebrews says, consider him who has gone before us, who endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. But our Lord, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. And saying in essence the same thing. Have your eyes upon the eternal weight of glory, the reward that is awaiting us who cling to him by faith. And you may endure your afflictions. The idea Paul has in mind here is, you've seen Lady Justice, emblem of justice, this lady who holds a scale in her hand, and she's got these the balance bar with two chains and a pan on either side. And there's a weight that the balance is tipping one way or the other. And Paul is saying, you take all your afflictions, all your trouble, all your circumstances of life, whatever they are, they seem to be heavy, they seem to be pressing down, and then you put on the other side the eternal weight of glory. It's no comparison. There's no match. Paul says, therefore, do not lose heart. Press on in the face of your afflictions, because God is using these afflictions as an instrument in his hand to change you, to cling to him, to face this eternal weight of glory to come. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. We are kept, friends. We are kept so that our eyes are focused upon this reward that is coming to those who are in Christ, who are heirs of Christ. Now, of course, not every one of the children of God have the same degree of afflictions and of suffering. It doesn't mean if one experiences greater degrees of suffering and affliction that somehow they have some kind of secret sin in their lives. We need to examine ourselves indeed if we are afflicted, if God is trying to teach us some lesson indeed. But on the other side, just as there are among you, some who are perhaps much richer than some of the others, God gives to each according to what he has determined. But the question really comes to this: what are you going to do with those riches or lack of them? And in regard to affliction, the question is, what are you going to do in the face of all these afflictions or the lack of them? And if you read the letter that Paul gives to the Corinthians, he is saying to them, there is a God of all comfort who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we can comfort those who are in any trouble. Have you ever faced an affliction, a trial in your life, a circumstance in your life that when you're going through it, you don't know how you're going to come out the other end? And yet, God brings you out. He brings you through. He has used others around you to comfort you and to bring the word of God to you and to pray for you. And the inner man has been strengthened. And what does God want you to do now? He wants you to go, and you go to find others who are in any affliction as you are, that you may comfort them with the comfort wherewith you yourself was comforted of God. This is how the body, the church, is called to live. And by doing this, we point one another even to such truths as, yes, your outward man may be perishing, but that's not all we are. We have an inner man that is desiring, looking by faith to that reward also in glory that brings glory to God. Far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Paul's not finished. He gives a third reason we press on in the face of affliction. He says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You and I know that when we open our newspaper, when we go to work, when we see the billboard signs, how does this world and business and work, how do they live in an unbelieving state? It's always for the things we see. Always for the things that are tangible and that please perhaps the body. You work your hardest to climb up the corporate ladder to get to a better place where you have more to do and pleasure and joy in this world, supposedly. The reward for the unbeliever is now. And everyone's fighting to get it. And Paul's saying, we do not look at these things. Are you looking at the things that are so attractive, so seemingly satisfying, that you imagine are going to give you great pleasure, satisfaction? Even the children here know that that's not really the case. Think about when perhaps this past summer school was out and you knew that your family was going on a vacation. You were just anticipating. You were looking forward to that time. And it's good to spend time with family and friends, get away. You look so forward to this week or two. Then it happened. It seemed to pass by so fast. And you come to the end and then you got to go back home. And it's almost like a big letdown. Why? Were you trying to find real happiness, real satisfaction in this? And you can multiply that example in the adults' lives and the teenagers' lives and so many ways we're imagining if only we could be here, if only we could get there, we would then be happy and satisfied. That's what the world is fighting for. God has given us all these things, yes, to enjoy. But when we enjoy them in the right light, having not our eyes fixed on the things that are seen but are not seen, our joy is all the more multiplied. That's why even when we face afflictions and trials, when we're not looking at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen, the things that are eternal, the things that last forever, then we can have joy, true joy, and true peace. All this world wants is good looks and vanity and pleasure. Paul is saying the believer, the Christian, is not to be pursuing those things. Once heard a man from Romania tell a story about himself as he was there during time of persecution. You may have heard of him. His name is Joseph Son. And they threatened to kill him because he was a pastor in a church. And he says, when he had been captured and standing in front of the officer who threatened to kill him, he said, "Sir, let me explain how I see this issue. Your supreme weapon is killing. My supreme weapon is dying, and hear how it works. You know my sermons on tape have spread throughout all the country. And if you kill me, those sermons will be sprinkled with my blood. Everyone will know I died for my preaching. And everyone who has a tape will pick it up and say, I better listen to what this man preached because he really meant it. He sealed it with his life. And so, sir, my sermons will speak 10 times louder than before, and I will actually rejoice in this supreme victory if you kill me. They sent him home. Later he heard from a friend of his who was being interrogated by an officer. That officer had said, oh, we know that Mr. Sun would love to be a martyr, but we're not so foolish to fulfill his wish. Mr. Sun said he paused and he thought about this. He said up until that point of that time when he said that to the interrogating officer, he had lived his life in fear. He would hardly dare to speak the name of Christ. He was afraid of dying and he kept a low profile, not to make any trouble. Because he wanted so badly to live. But he said now that he had placed his life on the altar, was ready to surrender all, when he in a sense died unto himself, they wouldn't kill him. And he could go wherever he wanted. And he said, as long as I saved my life, tried to save it, I was losing it. But when I was willing to lose it, I found it. And that's what Paul is saying here. How many of us continue to grovel in the mud and the dirt and the things and the stuff of life? That's why we're living. When it disappears through our fingers, we get frustrated, we get upset, And Paul is saying, you have your eyes in the wrong place. Fix your eyes on the eternal things. That's why we come to the house of God. That's why Asaph, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked, he was bemoaning himself. Why do I need to endure all this trouble and the people of God so afflicted and the rich, the wicked, until I went to the house of God. Then everything was plain. And that's why we come here, to worship. To be reminded of these very things, because all of us have a tendency, have a proneness to look at the things we see rather than the things we don't see, the things we understand through the Word of God and by faith believe them to be true, that there is an eternal reward of glory through Christ. And the question then I ask you is, where are your eyes? Where have you fixed your eyes? Are they on the things that you see, on the things that are passing away as a shadow and a vapor and a cloud? Or do you, by faith, lift up your eyes to the King of Glory, who sits on the throne so that not one of our afflictions, not one of our trials, not one of the things that is happening in the circumstance of our life is outside of His fatherly control? So we go to Him with all our need. We go to Him with all our joys. We go to Him and all our heart. And we lay it bare and we cling to Him to speak to us through His Word. Have we seen God in the face of Jesus Christ? Paul's writing these things. Don't lose heart. Be encouraged. Whatever your affliction, whatever your trial, whatever your circumstance, yes, the outward man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed. The affliction, it's light. It's a moment. It's working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory because we're not looking at the things that are seen, but those that we don't see, but by faith. Paul is there right now, probably, even as he's writing this, or later in his life at least. He's sitting next to two Roman soldiers in chains. And he doesn't look at the circumstance of his life and say, oh, poor me, poor Paul. But where he is, he opens his mouth so that the message of the gospel is even coming into the very palace of the king. That's the call we have here this evening as well to us. Are we trying to keep our life in our present culture, in our present world, thinking if we just keep to ourselves and we just keep the message of the gospel that's hated so much, then we can probably live comfortable and peaceable lives? And Paul is saying, no. We need to lose our life and we will find it. We need to fix our eyes on the eternal things. Then in our affliction, we can praise God to bear witness to this world that we have a Father in heaven who watches over us and cares for us in every circumstance. A comfort this world knows nothing of. So I say to you, I say to me, let's go forth into this world this week and bring this message to those who are without hope, who are succumbing beneath the circumstance of their lives, and speak to them of where our eyes need to be. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, help us. We confess that we are prone by nature to look at all the circumstance of our life, to look at the challenge and the difficulty that's before us. We look to ourselves and we are discouraged. Every reason to be so. But grant, Lord, that we would lift up our eyes to Thee, where Thou art seated at Thy Father's right hand. Thou art willing to hear the cries of Thy people, and will lift them out and renew the inner man and comfort them with a peace that passes understanding. For Thou hast said, I am with you, even unto the end of the age. Let this comfort fill our hearts and our minds and our souls as we enter this week, that we may know Thy presence goes before us. Lord, hear our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.